The text for our consideration this morning is from the first verse of the 98th Psalm. O sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have gained him the victory. These are your words, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. You know the story. Over 2 million Israelites, taking with them their livestock and goods, left Egypt. And into the wilderness they went and followed the Lord, who led before them as a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. And the Lord took them to a spot right next to an arm of the Red Sea, which seemed to be a dead end. But then when Pharaoh heard that the Israelites seemed to be like a sitting duck out there in the wilderness, he regretted letting his slaves go. So immediately he gathered all his chariots and, beginning with the best ones, charged into the wilderness to recapture the Israelites. And then when the Israelites saw the Egyptians closing in behind them, they feared for their lives. But God was about to show his powerful right hand and his holy arm. God divided the sea so that the Israelites were able to walk across on dry land. And then once the Israelites crossed and the Egyptians were there in the midst of the sea, God closed the waters, brought them back and over the Egyptian army. God defeated the enemies of his people. He won the victory. And you can imagine the song of praise that Moses and the rest of the Israelites sang that morning. And it is actually recorded for us in the 15th chapter of Exodus. Now, just like Moses, we too have a reason to sing to the Lord a new song. For the Lord is our victor. He raised his right hand and his holy arm against our enemies. And it certainly is a wonderful, marvelous thing, because God did not have to come to destroy our enemies, because he knows every one of our sins, whether they are big or small, whether they are public or hidden in the recesses of our minds. Because of them, God could have just left us in the clutches of Satan's grip, and there was nothing good or pleasing in us that would cause God to love us and to come and save us. Yet God did come to save us. It was for the sake of his own glory and because of his gracious will that he came. The impetus for his action was within himself. He wanted us, wretched creatures, to become his own. Therefore, God entered the battle against our enemies. He raised his powerful right hand and his holy arm. Jesus, the Son of God and the Son of Mary, died on the cross and suffered for the sins that we were to suffer. And that was his victory. Jesus defeated the devil. He wiped away our sins and destroyed death. And Jesus' resurrection affirms that he, our Savior, lives and that all these things have been done. Christ has won the victory, and all you who believe in him receive the benefits, the forgiveness of sins, eternal life, and salvation. God, our Creator and Savior, certainly is worthy of all praise, glory, and honor. But how often are we too ungrateful to sing to the Lord a new song? You would think that because of all the marvelous things that he has done, that we would be singing his praises day and night and be boldly before the entire world. But oftentimes our praise of God is weak and shameful. How many of you today saw all those 10 verses of our hymn and were glad that we didn't have to sing all of them? Many of us have thought like that from one time or another. Our praise of God is not, we are not eager to praise God. And let's not limit this to singing. We fail to talk to those around us about all the marvelous things that God has done. We do not spend time reading and studying God's Word. We may go most of a day or even an entire day without even thinking of Christ and all the marvelous things that He has done for us. Is this how we praise our victor? Well, dear believers in Christ, though our praise and gratefulness to God is imperfect, Christ's life and sacrificial death for our sins was perfect and complete. So we thank God that our salvation does not rest in our gratefulness or anything else within us or that we do, but it rests alone in the redemptive work of Christ. Now we, the beneficiaries of Christ's victory, will gladly sing to the Lord a new song, as our text states. The new song that we sing is the gospel. It is new because God's compassion and forgiveness is new for us every day. He never grows tired or weary of forgiving us. And we also need to hear the gospel day after day. Its value for us never grows old. Just like the new dew every morning nourishes the plants, the gospel daily nourishes our souls. So that is why we sing the same gospel in all the hymns that we sing. That is why faithful preachers preach the same gospel week after week. The gospel remains forever new. So why then do we sing the gospel to God? He doesn't need to hear it. Well, think for a moment of your favorite professor. How would you praise him? You'd probably say something about his teaching methods or the effort he puts into his work or the kind of person that he is. But the praise is about who he or she is or what he has done. Likewise, our praise to God is about who he is and what he has done. We sing about Christ and his death on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. We sing about the gracious means of word and sacrament through which the Holy Spirit creates faith in us and strengthens us. We sing of how his gospel comforts us in our trials. We sing of all the marvelous things that God has done for us. And having the gospel on our lips is definitely praise to God. But it is certainly good for us also. The gospel edifies our faith, whether we think of it, read it, speak it, or sing it. But having the gospel on our lips is also good for those around us. Just think of the hymn that Paul and Silas were singing in the jail at Philippi. The jailer heard the gospel in that hymn, and he wanted that same salvation that they had. And also, when you sing the gospel here in chapel and at church, you are edifying the faith and teaching your brothers and sisters in Christ around you. And this is what is great about our Lutheran hymnody. Lutheran hymns speak of all the marvelous things that God has done. They comfort us and strengthen us, and they teach us correct doctrine and bring glory to God. And Luther's hymn that we are singing today is a beautiful example of this. Now, not everyone here may be strong singers, but our praise of God is not limited to singing. We praise God when we come to Him with sorrowful heart, seeking His forgiveness. We praise God when we go to church and gather around His Word and sacrament. We praise God when we talk to others about all the marvelous things that He has done. And we praise God when we fulfill our vocation and live godly lives which point to that gospel that we believe. Well, the end of the school year is here. Many of us will be leaving Bethany, some for the summer and some for good. And God knows it may not be long that even some of us may be called from this earthly life. So I pray, brothers and sisters in Christ, hold dear to your heart all the marvelous things God has done for you. He has saved you from destruction. He has destroyed your enemies. So the devil cannot take you, and your sins cannot condemn you, and death cannot hold you. Christ is your victor. He is your Savior and your great defender. What a joy it is for us to sing of all that He has done. Amen. We pray. Dear Heavenly Father, with your powerful right hand and your holy arm, you have defeated our enemies. Continue to defend us with your holy word. Uphold in your grace all here who have gathered today to hear your word and to sing your praise, and also all believers in Christ, so that we may continue in your word and stay steadfast in faith, so at the end, when all our days here have passed, we can all gather together with the most beautiful white-robed choir of saints and angels and sing a new song to the Lamb who was slain. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.
The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.